The second one is sort of on ill will. Sometimes ill will is diffuse and all-encompassing. Attempting to do metta when the mind is experiencing this seems to aggravate rather than soothe. I want to find a way to approach this for the wounded animal mind, which is resistant to being manipulated in any way. I think one of the sometimes the assumptions of metta, what comes to mind is that story that Bhante Gunaratana tells of the first time that he went to Europe on an invitation to teach. This particular woman was organizing the retreat that he was going to be leading and teaching, and then asking him what he's going to be teaching, and Bhante Gunaratana is pretty basic, foundational in his teachings, and covers, you know, good ground and everything. And so he gave a talk about mindfulness and sort of samatha vipassana, and then the woman kind of questioned him further and said, "Are you going to be teaching metta?" And Bhante goes, "Oh yes, of course I'll teach him metta." And she goes, "I hate metta." Is that? And sometimes I think it's what oftentimes gets our sort of resistance to metta or metta practice is the expectation that we should be sort of loving everything and sort of have this, you know, all-encompassing loving kindness to everything and everybody. And that would aggravate. so when one sees it as an alternative, again, to recognizing the conditioned nature of the mind, and that whatever ill will we're experiencing is a part of a conditioned process, and to be able to tweak the conditions so that one isn't just taking ill will as the default option, so that they're bringing to mind those qualities of loving kindness, that's out of the range of human experience. We can make choices, and if ill will seems to be the default setting, then it's helpful to be introducing something else into the mix so that the different ways of generating metta practice. And that's where it's important to experiment with all sorts of different kind of iterations or expressions or formulations to see what actually feels like it resonates. And particularly if one does it on a regular basis, and it's actually helpful to have a whole range of different expressions and whether they're short or long because the mind inevitably gets inured to it. So that may be one of the ones that has been very helpful to me, just in the Metta Sutta, that phrase of wishing in gladness and in safety may all beings be at ease. It's a that 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 sincere kind of wish of safety, of ease, of comfort, of well-being, that in reality we all have, and in the Pali, Sukhi no wa ke mino hontu sambe sata bhavantu sukhitata. It's a very beautiful expression of that wishing of happiness and safety, stability, security. And of course there's many other ways of doing that. So that's a helpful way of framing it. Another way of approaching that ill will, I find, is the just investigating the logic of the ill will, which is for me, it's always been quite helpful in terms of when I investigate the feeling of ill will and look and say, you know, where does it come from? And then, of course, the immediate sense of ill will is invariably because of this person or that situation or this, and it's always sort of kind of out there. But just to keep tracing it back and say, well, and where does that come from? And where does that come from? And where does that come from? And inevitably it comes back to, I didn't get what I wanted. It isn't the way that I think it should be. And it's all about me. And that's, so petty, it's embarrassing. That it is, just sort of to embarrass oneself out of ill will is a valid way of approaching it and sort of being willing to put it down, set it down. The logic is always usually very strong, that of the kind of external placement of ill will, but then just keep investigating and using that contemplation, dhamma vicaya, dhamma in investigation, bears great fruit.